Welcome to Season 7, Episode 8 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about going all the way down Romans Road. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about our topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. Romans Road is a way of teaching the scheme of redemption by going through verses in the book of Romans. It is an invention of the denominational world and is used by many people today. In this episode, we're going to examine this Romans Road, what it is, how it is useful, and how those who teach it do not go far enough down this road that they take people on in explaining the scheme of redemption and the plan of salvation. Now, when this is presented, there are typically five so-called stops that are presented by the one who's teaching a prospect using this Romans Road method. And again, this is by going through different verses in the book of Romans. So stop number one is Romans 3, 10, and 12. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. And then down in verse 23 of the same chapter, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. These verses here in Romans chapter 3 are used to show that everyone needs salvation. That's stop one. Stop two is Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This passage is cited to show that because all have sinned, we are all deserving of death. Stop three is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This verse is used to show that Jesus died for our sins. And stop four is Romans 10, 9, and 10. For if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And then verse 13 of that same chapter, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. These verses then are used to make the point that salvation is through faith in Christ. And then stop number five, Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can bring Romans 8:1 into this as well. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Romans 8:38 and 39, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These passages in the fifth and final stop on this Romans Road explanation that has been made by these denominational preachers, these passages are cited to make the point that we enjoy peace with God through Christ. So what is presented as we go through these different verses that we just talked about quickly, what is presented as the Romans Road plan of salvation? After going through these five so-called stops, the following plan of salvation is presented. Number one, admit that you're a sinner. Number two, understand that as a sinner, you deserve death. Number three, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Number four, accept Jesus by faith. And number five, receive salvation from God. Unfortunately, while the plan that we just talked about sounds simple enough, and it's from passages in the book of Romans, it does not accurately represent the plan that is presented in the Scriptures. Therefore, following this Romans road, that this method that we just talked about, will not lead one to salvation, even though that's what is purported to be, to lead someone to salvation. This will not get someone to that goal of salvation. So then what I want us to talk about is how we can use the book of Romans to teach the plan of salvation. This Romans Road method that many people have used of explaining the scheme of redemption from the book of Romans is not all wrong. There are some good things about it, but there are some passages that are misinterpreted and other passages in the book of Romans that are relevant to this that are just ignored altogether. The main problem with it is that it is incomplete. So it might be helpful when teaching others to stay within a single book of the Bible, which is, I'm sure, why this plan was created in the first place. For those who are teaching, this will help in remembering where the passages are located if they're all in the same book. For those who are being taught, this will help them find the passages, especially if they may not be all that familiar with the Bible as a whole. But if we're going to take someone down the Romans road to show them how to be saved, we need to take them all the way down Romans road. So how can we teach the scheme of redemption and the plan of salvation using the book of Romans? Well, we can borrow the stops arranged by the denominational world as they have created this plan. We can borrow those, but we have to do it with a couple of additions, again, from the book of Romans, and a proper explanation of the passages. So stop number one, we can go where they started, Romans 3, verses 10 and 12, and also verse 23. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. And verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is a universal problem. No one is exempt from this. And then stop number two. We could go to Romans 6:23, just as is typically done by those from a denominational background who present this. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The punishment for sin is not physical death. Physical death is just a consequence. But spiritual death, separation from God that ultimately leads to eternal punishment, that is the punishment for sin. That is the wages for sin that Paul described in Romans 6 and verse 23. Then stop number three, Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus' death on the cross was a demonstration of God's love. We were helpless, as it says there in Romans 5:6, and enemies of God, Romans 5:10. Yet Jesus sacrificed his life for us. And then stop number four, we can also go to Romans 10, 9 and 10, and also verse 13, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And then in verse 13, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. These are the conditions we must meet in order to be saved. Belief, confession, and calling on the name of the Lord. We're not saved unconditionally, but we need to be sure we understand what the Bible means when it talks about calling on the name of the Lord. We talked about that more in the previous episode. But so far, what we've looked at in these first four stops, it's the same passages that are used when a denominational preacher or someone who's part of a denomination tries to present their plan of salvation. It's the same passages. So far, what we're looking at, the verses that we're looking at to show the need for salvation have been the same. But here is where there's a divergence. Here's where there's a break. And this is where, when the denominational individual presents this Romans Road plan, this is where they don't go far enough. This is where they skip something they don't need to skip. Because they make an assumption that whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's talking about the same thing as it says in verses 9 and 10, that we confess with our mouth, that this is something that is done verbally. So the next step, when we go the complete plan, what is should be stop 5 that is skipped altogether by many who present this plan, this explains what it means to call on the name of the Lord. And if you listen to the previous episode, you know you've already seen what that is from Acts 22 and verse 16. But stop number 5, we have to go to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6, Paul says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin." And you skip down a few verses, Romans 6, 11 through 14. "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." This shows us how we get into Christ. It is through baptism. We are baptized into Christ Jesus, Romans 6:3. This is missing from the standard Romans Road plan. Therefore, the Romans Road plan, as it is commonly taught, does not actually show anyone how to get into Christ. These verses that we've read from Romans chapter 6 just now, these verses show that we must repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ, which is just what Peter taught in Acts 2 and verse 38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." And then stop 6. We can go back to what the denominational world wants to present. Their stop 5 is really stop 6 because they skipped repentance and baptism. Stop 6, Romans 5:1, and also from Romans 8:1 and 38 and 39. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." 8:1, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And then Romans 8:38 and 39, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Being justified by faith, we can stand before God. There is no condemnation because we are in Christ. Therefore, no outside influence can separate us from him. But then there's a stop number 7. And this is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." There is no once saved, always saved doctrine taught in the Bible. After obeying the gospel, as Paul explained in these verses, we must continue to live for him. Our bodies are a living sacrifice. That is something that is ongoing, that we are transformed. We are not conformed to the world anymore, but instead we strive to be like the Lord and to follow after the will of God. Now, the difference between the standard Romans Road plan and the complete plan that we just talked about is that there are two stops missing on the commonly used version of this plan. There's a stop that talks about repentance and baptism from Romans chapter 6, and there's the stop at the end of a life of faithful obedience from Romans chapter 12. If we leave either of these out, or both of these out, but if we leave these out, we do not end up with salvation at the end. And so when this plan is presented without repentance and baptism, and without living faithfully, the one who is hearing that plan and the one who is following the plan as it's presented by the one who's teaching them, without repentance and baptism and a life of faithful obedience, they will not end up with salvation. Now, there are a few potential objections that will arise from the proponents of the standard Romans Road plan to these additional stops that we just discussed that emphasize repentance, baptism, and continued obedience. Objection number one is they say this is denying justification by faith. But the reality is this is not denying justification by faith. What it is, though, is denying justification by faith alone. We read a couple of times already, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we are justified by faith. We believe that. We must believe that. But many, because they want to hold to their doctrine that they've always been taught, that excludes repentance and baptism from salvation, when they read that passage, they almost unconsciously or subconsciously read the word alone into the text when it's not there. They think we're justified by faith alone. That's not what the text says. It says we're justified by faith. James specifically addressed this error in James 2:24, where he said, "You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone." We're justified by faith, not by faith alone. This is true because faith without works is dead, James 2:26. Real faith necessarily includes obedience. And that's why Paul, at the beginning and the end of the book of Romans, talked about the obedience of faith, Romans 1:5 and Romans 16:26. But another objection is that those who will present the plan as it's traditionally given, they will object to repentance, baptism, faithful obedience, because they say this is an attempt to earn salvation. But we cannot earn salvation. We talked about that also on a previous episode. Paul said that salvation in Romans 6:23 is the free gift of God. However, that does not mean that obedience is unnecessary. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 17 and verse 10. "So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done.'" Obedience is what God expects of us, not something that is optional. Just as a servant's obedience to his master is not optional, doesn't mean he earns anything. He's still an unworthy slave, but it is expected and is something he must do in order to please his master. And then another objection that people will raise to these other steps that we talked about, which is really just passages in the book of Romans, the other objection that will be raised is they say, "Well, this makes baptism necessary for salvation." Well, yes, it does. It does make baptism necessary for salvation, and I'm not going to make any apology for that because that is what the scriptures teach. We must teach that baptism is necessary for salvation because that is what Jesus and the apostles taught. Jesus said, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. On the day of Pentecost, Peter taught the crowd, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Acts 2:38. Later, the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:21, "Baptism now saves you." So as we draw this to a close, we think about the book of Romans and what is in the book of Romans. Paul presented the message of the gospel in the book of Romans, the gospel that is the power of God for salvation, Romans 1:16. And Paul explained why one needs to be saved because of the problem of sin and the wages of sin is death. Paul showed what God did to make salvation possible in sending Christ to earth to die on the cross. And Paul taught what one must do to be saved. He must have faith. He must repent. He must confess. He must be baptized. He must live faithfully. If we want to be saved, we need to do all that God has said and follow his plan for salvation. So we can use the book of Romans to explain what one needs to do to be saved. But if we're going to take someone down this Romans road, we need to make sure we go all the way down Romans road so that we can actually lead them to salvation and not to a place that is short of that. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about who will be lost and who will be saved. Until then, I hope you have a great week.